Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, our very own Owen, Texas football insider. And of course, joined by the coach, former high school football coach at Burnett, Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan. Also played college football at Abilene Christian, was coached there as well in multiple stints. Was on the staff at the University of Texas. Always brings wisdom. And I will say that he is the comic relief on the show. People are telling me as well. It is Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, Coach?
What's happening? Look at that hat. Look at that
hey,
hat, baby.
Hey, representing, baby. Representing, oh. I'm telling you.
Hey, signs on me.
All right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right that's there. How you get your cap, right there.
Hey, man, Matthew is on it. Matthew's a real MVP behind the scenes, man. I'm telling you, behind the scenes, he's doing work. We appreciate that. I appreciate all you guys joining us. For real, thank you guys for joining us. Also, all your questions, of course, that's our top priority. We'll try to get to as many of your questions as we can, so just throw them out there. There's not a bad question. Super chats can interrupt the show at any time. They jump to the front of the line. Y'all know how that goes. We'll have our own topics that we'll get into, a bunch of different topics on the show today that I asked the guys about. And, yeah, that's where you can find that Shipley's gear right there, baby. There you go. You know what I mean? Sway. What is it, Coach? Sway and Shield.
Sway and Shield. Those are Shield. Yeah. That's Jordan's sons, Suede and Shield.
I love it.
Suede and Shield.
Sounds like Hollywood. It sounds like some Hollywood names. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm kind of a Bob, Sam, Bill, you know, CJ, Rod. I mean, you know, just simple names. You can spell it backwards and it's the same name, you know. And now my kids have all these designer names.
Yes, that's what it is. They're designer names, Coach. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, you're right. About that. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's perfect for a receiver, Coach. I mean, come on. You got to get the Hollywood in the receivers.
Come on now. That's true. They are divas. Yeah. They are divas. And even that's interesting. That are your sons also divas? Because they are receivers. Are they divas too? Because most of the receivers I know are divas, Coach.
They better not be. I told them, you ever score a touchdown, baby, you act like you've been there before. You hand the ball to the ref and go about your business.
I will say I don't remember a Shipley celebration. Do you, CJ? Do you remember a Shipley TD celebration?
Not at all.
Now. Wow. Now, the grandsons, Jackson's grandsons, the one playing ball in the yard every day.
They
got their touchdown moves and all that stuff. But Big Bobo's going to get that out of them before they get on the big field.
Hey, Coach, I don't know, Coach. You might not be able to get work that out of them. You know how that is, man. It's a different generation. You know how that goes.
Yeah, you're right.
Grandpa's different than than Daddy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not nearly as tough on them as I was my own boy. So you're right. I may not.
Yeah, Pawpaw's pretty. Yeah, you're pretty soft. Pawpaw's pretty soft when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Very soft.
All right, guys. Please hit us up with your questions. We'll answer, like I said, as many of them as we can. I got a couple of topics that I want to throw out there for the guys. But first, Coach, and we'll get to some recruiting too. My man CJ's gonna get to a little recruiting teaser for you here in just a second. But Coach, I got to get your thoughts. One of the big stories over the weekend was Texas had official visits. Speaking of the recruiting world, they had some official visits on campus, by the way. A lot of great coverage of it on TexasFootball.com. Courtesy of my man, CJ. Hey, CJ and Jerry Hamilton, man. Y'all killed it this weekend, by the way. That was amazing coverage. Great interviews. I mean, it's all there. Go check it out on Texas Football on the YouTube channel, but also on TexasFootball.com. I think those guys are working really hard for you. But anyway, they had a fleet of Lamborghinis, Coach, a fleet of Lamborghinis on campus awaiting the recruits. Now, they weren't going to just jump in them and drive. They were just for show, to show them something to aspire to, that one day, if you are a part of the elite, all right, here at the University of Texas, like Bijan Robinson, like I think Jalen Ford had one, I think it was a – maybe it was Jake Majors too and Jay Witt. You can also have yourself a Lamborghini endorsement. You know what I mean? Something like that. But people did not like this. There are a lot of folks on social. There are a lot of – CJ put out a video that of one of the recruits walking in and showing this. And a lot of people saw it and they felt a certain kind of way about it. A lot of negative blowback about Texas recruiting by just making it something that's more about the material things and, you know, Lamborghinis. Some people call them Lambo U. What are your thoughts about this recruiting tactic, this recruiting pitch by Texas that, hey, man, we got the Lambos on campus. By the way, not the first to do this. It's just the University of Texas. When they do it, they get a lot more attention.
Well, back when you were being recruited and others were being recruited, they talk about material things. That's what kids like. Well, when you were being recruited and others, they had girls in Daisy Dukes showing up waiting instead of Lambos. So it's the same. It's the same thing. It's like you come here. This is what's around here, you know. And I remember when we started that in about 17 or 18, I think. Huff Daddy. Michael Huff had a Lambo. He had several very expensive sport cars, and so I was supposed to drive one day from Huff Daddy. I couldn't fit in it. And so I said, no, I can't help you doing that. But man, those the other guys on the operation staff, support staff, they love to go with them because they could drive those things up there. But hey, man, I think it's awesome.
I like that. Rather have the Lambos out front than the flock of lambs outside, like Aggie. Well done there. Always a good time for an Aggie joke. Well done there.
That's what you asked those Aggies after recruiting visit. How bad? How was it? Well, it wasn't too bad.
Coach Floyd, I told you to come.
Coach on fire on a Monday, Rod.
Granddad jokes. He's got a ball.
I love the Lambos, man. I think it's awesome. And you know what? That's not a pipe dream. That's reality for some players. Not all players, but it is a reality for some players. And so, you know, you got a first chance to make – you got one chance to make a first impression. I love it. I think it's good. You give the kids a good time.
Yep.
You know, and what's really funny is seeing – some of these big old dudes, you know, these big old suckers coming in, they're like 320 pounds as high school seniors, and they try to get in those Lambos.
They got no shot.
How do you adjust this seat back? My belly won't fit in here. But I love it. I mean, the people that don't like it are the people that just, there ain't no Lamborghini dealership in College Station, or I would doubt. I don't know.
No, it's not.
But anyway, I love it. I think it's great. I think the kids love it. It's all in fun. I mean, you know, it's not like sign with us. You get one of these, but
yeah,
that, like I said, it's happened several times to some Longhorn players that they've been able to get those while they're still playing at UT. So I say, I mean, why not roll out the red carpet, man? Be the talk of the country, which we are.
When are we going to be able to, you know, kind of position a private jet on that little walkway into Moncrief? Oh, right, we just saw Quinn ink that deal with the private jet company.
Yes.
Well, you're able to land one on DKR. Just throw it out there. Say, hey, yeah, you know, if you become the face of Texas football, and you know, maybe a little bit more specific with some of these quarterbacks, but hey, this is what you can achieve at Texas. It's not a promise. But hey, my other thing with this, and isn't this the whole point of NIL? Is NIL companies come in, they see what you know, the kind of the hype and the reach that some of these athletes have, and they put a deal in place, and now we're talking about what they can do to represent that company, and you start talking about that company a little bit more. What have we done with Lamborghini this entire weekend? I'll tell you what, I put up the video of Josiah Sharma's Instagram story, and I think it's clearing almost 900,000 views. There's been several other accounts that have taken the same video, put it out there, and they have several million views. So that's exactly what it was intended to do. And if you're doing this as a recruit at the University of Texas, and you're a company or a Fortune 500 company on the same level as a Lamborghini, why would you not want to be involved with University of Texas players? Because we're talking about this with recruits and prospects and potential Longhorns down the road. Yep. Well, if you're coming out and getting the guy that's an all-SEC starter at the University of Texas, a home name and many of the whether it be Texas or California or Florida, but you're in the SEC and you're making plays on the field, it just kind of goes to show again, you're coming out looking like the most brilliant marketer in the world because you have paired up with somebody at the University of Texas and your company is getting all this attention worldwide, whereas it probably would not have been an opportunity at plenty of other universities in their own state or even in its own conference.
Yeah, no, it's a great point about that's the actual purpose of NIL. If you're Lamborghini, you're thrilled with this partnership, right? You're like, man, we got so much great advertising ideas in very creative ways. Okay, first of all, what is the standard to get the Lambo deal? Have we talked about, is it all conference? Like, what's the Lambo standard? Is it just all conference? Are we talking all American? Like,
You got to be an all-American level guy.
Okay.
A very select group, of course. I mean, think about the guys that were, you know, kind of in that group. Of course, Quinn, right? I think he's going to be a first-round quarterback next year. If not an all-American guy, a guy that you can kind of echo the heart and soul of the Longhorn program and be that face. You know, Jordan Whittington, I would say is described as such. Jake Majors, currently right now one of the elder statesmen in the program as well. It makes sense to me that whether you are or are not an All-American, you are synonymous with the face of Texas football.
I like that. Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. So I guess the standard is, you're right. You got to be be synonymous with the brand itself. And it's all about brand association. One other thing I wanted to bring up here because – you know, people talk about, you know, obviously Texas and the resources that Texas has. And one thing that's interesting about NIL is, to me, it's the new manifestation of the arms race in college sports. And Coach, you've been around it more than anybody. It manifests itself in different ways for different eras. And, like, I remember when it was all about, you know, the stadiums getting bigger. And, hell, you'll talk about this in a second, CJ, Jumbotrons and having the Godzillatrons and the bigger
having rappers and hip hop artists come to in the dressing room to practice and hang out.
Yes, yes, yes. To show your cool factor, right? Yeah. Coolest currency in recruiting.
The Undertaker.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
For the rednecks like me, the Undertaker.
No, but I remember when it was all about your locker rooms. Remember, you got to have a barbershop in your locker room. And then they got this. And they got televisions in every locker. And then that, it was kind of a manifestation of because of the facilities. It was all about the arms race. And I think the NIL is just kind of the new manifestation of the arms race. And you need the stories like this, if you're Texas, to get out so that people understand where you are in this new arms race that is the NIL. That's why you need Darren Revell to write an article about the Pancake Factory. Most people are going to hate on Texas as a result of it, but the recruits read and go, this is awesome. And parents read and go, this is great. All right, you know, $50,000 per offensive lineman on scholarship. That's great NIL opportunities there at Texas. And they need Quinn Ewers, right? Private jet deal to be out there. So this is why this kind of feels to me like the new arms race. Like, how many of your stories are getting out there about the NIL deals at your school and how unique they are? And Texas has as many as anyone because I think they're a leader in that space. So
I think every offensive lineman that signs with them ought to be able to go to the Dodge dealership that sponsors us and get them a big old 3/4-ton, 4-wheel drive, jacked up Dodge pickup. So there's plenty of room for me and all my big buddies.
Coach, I want to ask you, because I think we talked about this probably a while ago whenever we first started really getting into the world of NIL. If you were an athlete right now and you're an All-American level guy, what is your number one NIL dream partnership saying? You know, you get on the phone with your marketing agent or whatever and you say, hey, whatever you do today, get me on the phone with this company. I got to either get some food, some drinks. Are you going on a plane?
I'm going on the jet, baby.
Yeah.
I'm going with the jet. I want to go to Paris. I want to go to Italy. I'm going with the jet. That would be my personal one.
I don't know if there's a better NIL deal than the private jet company. I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, that can't be a better one than that. Give me please, somebody in the chat, send me a better NIL deal than a deal with a private jet company that will fly you anywhere. I mean, there are millionaires out there that can't afford their own private jet. And if you would have access to one, the PJ, come on, man.
The dudes that have the jet deals, you know, they're the most popular dudes on the team. Everybody wants to go out for the weekend with those guys.
But it's only the QBs. All the QBs are getting these deals, these jet deals, man. So it's this wide receiver taking the O-line with him all the time. Hey, I was best friends with the QB, so I would have been on that private jet. I would say that. Shout out. But there you go. All right.
But you know what? People think that this is what it's all about. I had a parent that I talked to a few times during recruiting who is a friend. And his son signed with Texas, and he told me that his son never once talked to them about NIL. So, you know, if you think, for people to think that every single recruit is in there saying, okay, what do you got for me? They're not all that way. They're not all like that. And this young man, they didn't even talk NIL. He grew up wanting to be a Longhorn. He grew up watching Vince, Colt, Rod, Huff Daddy. He grew up watching all you guys. And he knows if he's successful, that stuff's going to come, you know. But there wasn't anything anybody else could have offered him that would have taken him away from the University of Texas. That's how bad he wanted to go there. And he's on scholarship there now. That will come at time. Now, we'll say this too. His parents don't. You know, they're not like a lot of less fortunate kids. He very, very fortunate to be raised the way that he was raised. Not that big a deal to them, but still, it's a little bit of a misnomer that every kid comes in saying, Coach, what are you going to give me? It's not that way. And I love those kids. And, hey, good for those kids. Get what you can get while you can get it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I high five you, say, go get it. But I also love the ones who love the university and love the history, love the tradition of being and being able to be a part of someone who carries that on. That's pretty cool too. It's cool to see guys finally get to help their family, finally get some finer things in life they've never been able to have. They've sacrificed, their mamas have sacrificed, daddies have sacrificed their whole life. And then there's others that have been more fortunate in life, and they just want to be Longhorn. So it's all good. It's all good across the board in my mind.
And I love that, Coach. Now, because I want to get to some recruit stuff. So, but I always said there are certain guys, and now I think it may be a little tougher, but there are two types of players at Texas. Players who come to play for Texas and players who come to play at Texas. And the guys who come to play for Texas, right, they want to know what I can do for the brand. Those are your Rojos and your Jay Witts. And yes, what sir. You want in your locker room are more of those guys. The guys who came to play at Texas, they want to know, what can Texas do for me, right? So JFK quote, right? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Just insert Texas there. And the four Texas guys, they want to know, hey, man, how can I help Texas? And so I said, Rob, what were you driving while I was in Texas? I drove a Pontiac Sunfire. It was a black Pontiac Sunfire.
Rod.
Yeah, I was a black Pontiac Sunfire, man. It was not like clean or nice or anything. It wasn't rims on there, nothing like that. It was just to get around it. It was a car that I bought coming out of high school with the money that I had saved up working at Prince's Hamburgers. And I did have a nice little gig from a Texas ex, like my last year after I committed to Texas. That last semester, I had a nice little gig. But other than that, I just kind of saved money in Pontiac Sunfire. So I wasn't driving anything nice. I mean, but he got me around. It was all right. It was not a chick magnet, I can assure you of that. Not like the Lambos these guys are driving. Now it's too easy for these guys. Rod still had to put in some work back in the day. But yeah, man, I agree with you, right, Coach? I'm with you. I still think you appreciate the guys who do have an appreciation for the brand and the tradition and the fans and the network and all the things that Texas will bring to them. So they really want to make sure they leave it better than they found it. And I think you got more of those types of guys that I've talked to on campus. They want to leave it better than they found it. You got more for Texas guys than at Texas guys, but you always have a little bit of both.
But you have those guys that you're talking about that want to play for Texas. They're a great influence. The guys that want to play at Texas, they may come for this, but soon they realize what a cool place it is and the legacy they can leave behind. And so it winds up kind of changing a little bit, you know, and it becomes not so much about that, but about trying to leave a legacy at such a cool place.
Coach, there's no doubt. I literally played with guys. When they came here, they claimed to play at Texas. By the time they left, they were four Texas guys. Mm-hmm. The culture was able to, you know, rehabilitate their football character, if you will.
Sure.
And, yeah. And I think Sark now depends on that. I think this is why now he'll take more risks in talent acquisition than he did his first year or first 2 years. He's like, no, I got the culture set. I got guys that will correct this guy's football character if it needs to be tweaked, if he needs to be put on the straight and narrow. I'm not the only one policing this culture now. There are levels to it. Me, assistant coaches, strength and conditioning coaches, the players, the leaders, all that kind of stuff. So I agree with that. UT boy, thank you very much. Family, thank you for the super chat, UT boy. Very kind of you. And shout out to UT boy here and all of you. Thank you, UT boy, because UT boy kind of it symbolizes this. But, man, we got to 50,000+ subscriptions this past weekend. And we are very grateful to all of you guys, UT boy, but all of you guys for helping us build this community. We wanted it to be something special because, you know, we love Texas, all of us. And we wanted to make sure that we bring the most authentic and the most accurate and the most insightful content, Texas football-related content that we could bring. And bringing on, you know, Coach Shipley, bringing on C.J. Vogel and Jerry Hamilton, that, you know, that was all a big part of it. So a lot of pride. Blake Monroe is part of the crew. Of course, Bobby Burton, the man, the myth, the legend. So it's just great to have a really good team, and the team, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's devoted to bringing you the best possible content about Texas football that you can. So we got the recruiting covered, X's and O's covered. You know, we have plenty of guys who got their own connections, but it's mostly because of you guys joining us each and every day for the journey. So we appreciate you guys going strong. Just the beginning, by the way. This thing is about to blow up. As Texas is about to blow up, this thing is going to blow up too. So thank you guys, man. Yeah, we consider it a family. We consider the community, all of us, baby. No doubt. We appreciate that. All right, CJ, you were working really hard this weekend, man. A lot of great nuggets. Give the folks a little recruiting teaser out there for you. There's a lot of great stuff over at On Texas Football, by the way, first of all.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jerry and I put in some good work this afternoon, this weekend as well. We were up at the airport as guys were departing. I got to chat to a couple. Make sure to head over to ontexasfootball.com. Actually, Jerry just put up some really interesting nuggets about a really, really talented blue chip offensive tackle from out of state. Has an official visit coming up this weekend. Put up some notes about him, as well as where things sit with some of these official visitors that visited this past weekend. So make sure to check it up over there. About 18, 19 guys coming in this next weekend. That could get up to 20 if we got another surprise like Tanook Hines. But a lot going on. We'll have a full breakdown tomorrow again on Coffee and Football. And, of course, at the recruiting breakdown Tuesday afternoon.
All right. Thank you, CJ, for that. CJ, got a question here for you from Coach 420. Says, CJ, who wins in a foot race? You or Jordan Scruggs?
Jordan's my boy. But Jordan's my boy. He does a great he does a great job over at 24/7. But no, I'm taking him. I'll put my money where my mouth is on that one. I'm taking Jordan 100%.
I like that. All right, before we get back to some of the questions, let's take some time and thank our fantastic sponsor of the Winning Drive. We really appreciate our friends over at South Point Dodge being a part of the On Texas Football family and, of course, for sponsoring the Winning Drive. So, Texas football fans, you can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games, and they're not about gimmicks. They are just about getting straight to the point, which is getting you the best deal possible. So you can score big today at South Point Dodge. Also remember, South Point Dodge is Austin's number one automotive everything. So if you're looking to sell your car, get to South Point. You can get South Point's best offer over the phone or online. You can get top dollar for any make and model, even if you didn't buy from South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge is home of the real deal, whether you're getting the lowest price on the best new Ram truck or you're making sure you get the best value for your old car. Visit them today at southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. Or you can visit them off I-35 in South Austin. Get to the point today at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much to South Point Dodge for all of their support. I will get back to some of the questions, so keep those coming. I got a question here for the guys before we get back to some of you guys' questions. So I was looking at some of the schedule for Texas, and I'm starting to do like my research basically for Texas opponents coming up. And it started seeing a lot of stuff about Texas, the opposing quarterbacks Texas is going to face. Now, we know the best quarterback Texas will face is Carson Beck. Everybody knows he's potentially he's right now the best odds in terms of the front runner for the Heisman. I think he's got the best odds to be the number one quarterback taken overall. But there is some dispute about who's the second best quarterback Texas is going to face on this schedule. I'm not sure I know who it is, but I at one point I thought it may be Graham Mertz, and we can get into that a little bit. But now there are some people that believe it could be the Aggie quarterback, Connor Wigman.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have a large sample size, and that's why I think you haven't seen a lot of, you know, Connor Wigman represented in these quarterback rankings and things of that nature in the preseason. But I was listening to, I believe it's NFL Stock Exchange. I believe it's the name of the podcast, if I'm not mistaken. And they actually said that I wrote it down because I thought it was crazy. It was Tampa Bay Trey, which is Trevor Sikkema. You know what I'm talking about from Pro Football Focus. And mm-hmm. also Connor Rogers. They do a show together. And actually, Connor Rogers said that Connor Wigman was his number four quarterback out of this quarterback class. And the guy, Tampa Trey, said he was his number one quarterback on the NFL Stock Exchange. And I don't think they were trolling either. I think they were serious about it. Connor Rogers said that if he could invest in any quarterback, I think we have actually a screenshot of that if he could invest in any quarterback, potentially, that could be a first rounder. Obviously, Carson Beck aside, I think they're talking about. He said Connor Wigman is where he would invest. He thinks he has better. I think he said he had better raw tools than Quinn Ewers or Shredder Sanders. Yeah. I know I wrote it all down because I was like, hold up, that's crazy. But I will admit, I haven't watched a lot of Connor Wigman because he hasn't played a lot. Right? He's got, I think, 8 starts in 2 years. But I'll admit, last year he did start out like gangbusters. He looked really good at the beginning of the year. And those first 4 starts he had as a sophomore, damn near 69% completion percentage, 8.2 yards per attempt, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'll throw it out there to you guys. Is it possible that the Aggie, Connor Wigman, is going to be the second best quarterback Texas plays behind Carson Beck on the schedule?
Yeah, and I think it's very possible. I think it actually might be the reality for 2024. And listen, I think Graham Mertz, for all of his college experience, I think there's some value in that. You know, he had 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Almost 73% of his passes were completed a year ago for Florida. Question is, and where I think Connor Wigman gets the nod, is there's more playmaking ability with Wigman. There's more, when the pocket breaks down, you can extend plays and get yards a little bit easier with Wigman than you can with Mertz. I think he's just a little bit limited athletically, whereas Wigman was obviously a big-time 2 sports star coming out of high school, a big-time baseball guy as well. So he can make all the throws off platform. He can make all the throws with the arm, dipping down below the normal arm slot, et cetera. Question with Wigman, and where I kind of question whether or not he will be the guy that we expected out of high school as a 5-star guy, is will he remain healthy enough for a full season, right? He only made it through 3.25 games a year ago. Again, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 2 of those games he threw for 340 yards each. So he can put up numbers, and he did so in an offensive where Jimbo, again, it wasn't an easy offense to kind of dissect. Right. It wasn't an easy a system for young quarterbacks to get a complete hold of early on. But I do think he's a very talented quarterback. I'd put him in the top 5. He's probably my 5th most talented quarterback in the SEC this year. I think he's more talented than Jackson Arnold. I think he's a better quarterback than Jackson Arnold right now. The question after that is, who then does Texas face? And that's going to be a big question. Arkansas, new quarterback. Blake Chapin's now at Mississippi State. Kentucky got a quarterback out of the portal. So I would argue it's not a very, you know, intimidating slate of quarterbacks that Texas will face in 2024, which, again, leads to me saying I think Connor Wakeman is very underrated. And, again, the question there is, can he stay healthy? That offensive line wasn't very talented a year ago. It's not very much more talented this year. So if you do see Wakeman go down, that's when I think, okay, the Aggie train year one might go off the rails a little bit. But, yeah, him at number two, not too surprising for my money's worth at least.
Yeah. Coach, your thoughts about the quarterback Texas will face? I mean, I guess that's a good thing. Carson Beck being the only proven commodity high-level quarterback you're going to face. The rest of these guys potentially could break out. But do you think Connor Wigman, second-best quarterback Texas will face next season?
Well, I don't like you said, I don't know that there's enough that we've seen enough to know. He had some good games last year. Of course, one of them was Louisiana Monroe. He threw 337 yards and 236 against New Mexico. But the most impressive stat to me is 251 passes and two interceptions.
Yep.
That's impressive. But I do know this. If he can somehow pull a win against the Longhorns next year, they will have a statue of that sucker in Kyle Field. And he will zoom up in every he's capable of playing at that level. I mean, I've always been impressed with him. I think he's I don't know that he's been getting the recognition that he deserves, but I'm not ready to crown him the second or third best quarterback we'll see yet, because like there's just not enough sample out there of what he's done to see against quality opponents. Right, you know, right. Now Miami didn't have a great season. They beat A&M 48-33. He had 336 yards passing against him. But the fact that he doesn't make that many mistakes, he makes good decisions with the ball. I think he could very well be the top two or three quarterbacks that we'll see. Will he be the best? He'll have to really surprise some people, but I think he's capable of being one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, definitely. Rod, I want to bring this up real quick, this question by Jonathan Mackey. How can a guy with 9 total appearances get this kind of hype? I think it's a completely fair question. It absolutely is. Then you go back and you look at who Texas is playing, and, well, 9 actually might be on the high side of some of these quarterbacks Texas is lining up against in 2024. Again, Brock Vandegrift, 5-star guy. At Kentucky, 0 career starts. You look at Arkansas. They just added Taylen Green out of Boise State. He's making the leap from playing on the blue turf to playing in the SEC. That's a little bit of a shift as well. You start looking around. Blake Chapin hasn't played in a year and a half. He only played 2 games last year at Baylor. So Texas started off the Big 12 with Baylor, in which it was a big question mark whether or not he was going to play. Ended up not playing the rest of the season. So my point is, there aren't many experienced quarterbacks. Graham Mertz is. But as I mentioned earlier, I just think there's a level in which talent kind of drops off with Mertz to Wegman. Of course, Mertz did have a good year last year. He's just, not necessarily the arm talent that you would expect. A lot of his throws were underneath. I think his average distance of target was no more than about 8 yards, 8-9 yards down the field. So we'll see again. But this is why he's getting that hype and why the conversation is being had is, well, it is a bit of a down year for quarterbacks Texas will face. McCown at UTSA started 7 games last year for the Roadrunners. Alex Orji at Michigan, replacing, obviously, J.J. McCarthy, that national championship winner. So it's a lot of inexperience, a lot of young, a lot of youth. Fortunately for Texas, that plays in their favor. But, again, that's the reason why this is all the conversation is being had in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not hyping him up, but I saw it and I was like, this is a lot. You got to talk about this because it could be. And I think CJ's right. I think he is the second best quarterback right now that Texas is going to face on the schedule. And I think that bodes well for Texas. As CJ just mentioned, not a lot of these guys have experience at all. And Wigman could, regress or hell, maybe he could have a breakout campaign. We just don't know. He's not really a proven commodity, but what we've seen so far shows he has a really high upside and a guy coming out as a 5-star quarterback. Here, Graham Mertz's stats, I'll get these real quick. He was 6th in passing yards in the SEC. He did lead the SEC in completion percentage and touchdown to interception ratio, 20-3. yards per attempt. He was sixth. And that's, you know, that's where he finished. But after October, if you go look at it, since October against all SEC opponents, 69% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, one interception, over 1,600 yards. So he got better as the year went on. But he doesn't really push the ball downfield. It's kind of what CJ was saying. That's what people want to see from him. He's a very conservative quarterback. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Nothing wrong with that. No. But it's hard. They don't have enough talent for him to be conservative and them to win games. He's going to have to, like, take some chances throwing the ball downfield and making some plays. And I think that's operating that far outside the structure. You know, he as a quarterback may regress if that is the case this year. But they like Graham Mertz. So Graham Mertz is actually in that conversation too. So
last point on Mertz, I just looked it up actually. The average distance of target of quarterbacks a year ago with 300 quarterbacks passing attempts in the SEC. Yeah. Dead last in average distance of target down the field. 6.7 yards. So, no, he was not pushing the ball. He was – that offense is all about just get what you can and let the playmakers do what they can after the catch. Yeah. But 6.7 yards down the field. The next closest or the next lowest was Spencer Rattler at 7.5. So, yeah, wow. You see a lot of, you know, the completion percentage, that conversation. That's great. Yeah, he can really throw the ball about 5 yards, right? That's kind of what that stat's saying. But to the point, I do think there are a little bit more talented quarterbacks that Texas will face, just not very experienced.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say one more. I want to say one thing on this. One thing that we haven't mentioned, but you can't talk about this without talking about CJ. You know this better than anybody. What kind of receiving core is Connor going to have next year? What kind of offensive line? I mean, that's half of it.
Yeah.
You know, half. You know, yeah. I say half. It may be more. Maybe a little less. But if he doesn't have the targets that can get open, and if he doesn't have a line that can protect him, then that's where it's going to all come out in the wash right there. Any of those guys, what kind of receiver and core do they have? What kind of protection can they get from their offensive line?
That's a great point.
Yeah, now Coach right about that.
We don't know much about him. It's because he was hurt because of the offensive line.
And this is why for the Aggies in a new system too, that's also another factor, right, that you really can't really predict. But I'm with you, Coach, because if you look at receivers, and I know CJ's really high on the Oklahoma receivers. Oklahoma receivers are really good. They're one of the, I think they're ranked by Pro Football Focus as one of the top 10 receiving cores in college football, but they got to replace the entire offensive line. Right. Okay. So, yeah, Texas will end up playing Oklahoma. They got to replace their entire offensive line. That's why you got Georgia. Georgia's they loaded everywhere. Right. So that's why that when you play Carson Beck, that's going to be a hell of a challenge. And honestly, I was thinking about this, looking at this top receiving core ranking here. Man, Texas DBs, they're ready for that Oklahoma game in case Oklahoma's offense. That's going to be a big game for the Texas D line to get pressure on. Basically get pressure on Jackson Arnold before he can potentially hit some of those receivers down the field. Because they're going to be running a very similar offense to what they ran with Seth Luttrell. They ran under Jeff Levy. And Definitely. That receiving core is a talented group. But do they have the offensive line to protect? That's what I'm not sure they know, and we don't know either. So, Coach, you're right. Not a lot of teams have that kind of continuity to help their quarterback take their game to the next level. Texas does. Speaking of,
and also, when you look at the new offensive coordinator, Kansas State is not known as a really high-flying, passing, prolific offense. And no. So, but it will, I think it will help him, since they're not airing it out all the time, it allows a guy like Connor to continue what he's done, and that he doesn't make mistakes. And you don't see the Kansas State quarterbacks make a lot of mistakes. You really don't, because they do such a great job of making you defend the run, and obviously the quarterback mobility and the quarterback runs are a big part of that offense as well, or at least it has been. I'm assuming he'll continue to do the same thing he's done.
Yeah, it's interesting with Colin Klein, especially with the injury history of Connor Wigman. Do you expose him like that with a quarterback run game a little bit? We know he's got some of the ability to do that, but that'll be interesting too. So I agree with you on that, Coach. All right, let's get to some questions, and then we'll come back to another topic. I want to talk about a great article from Football Scoop. Comes out every year. about continuity, staff continuity all throughout college football. It bodes really well for the Longhorns, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But there's just some questions here. Thank you guys for sending the questions in. We appreciate it. Jacob wants to know, CJ, hey, CJ, do you know if Texas has had any contact with 26 D-line recruit Danny Beal out of Arkansas? Given Arkansas's struggles, I feel like that could be a layup if he's a fit.
Yeah, I don't know about layup. Recruiting kids out of Arkansas, even with Arkansas being down, is still pretty tough. That, you know, Arkansas football in the state of Arkansas is, you know, it's basically religion. Those kids, even with how up or down they are, they don't seem to leave the state all too often. Texas is aware of them. They have yet to offer more of the evaluation phase. I know there are a couple services that rank him right outside the top 50 nationally prospects for the 2026 class. He's yet to be on campus. Texas is yet to offer. So we'll just have to wait on the evaluation and see if Texas goes up to see him at some point this fall or extends an offer during the summer.
Good stuff there. Thank you for the question, Jacob. Here's another one for you, CJ. Jameson wants to know, do y'all have the official visit list for this weekend?
Yeah, we sure do. There's a lot of guys coming in. Real quick, I'll highlight some of the commits because this is the first time that you'll see three Texas commits make it to campus. Ricky Stewart, the running back out of Chapel Hill. Brandon Brown, this is a big weekend for him coming off the Tennessee visit. Was at LSU the first week of the month as well. And, of course, Lance Jackson out of Texas High, 6'6", 265-pound defensive lineman, edge rusher, really talented kid. But another big one coming in, and that front seven, it's going to be a big weekend for Kenny Baker, PK, Johnny Nance. And you look at Smith Orogbo, there's some noise right there about what it looked like for the Aleve Hastings prospect out of Texas Tech. You know, that's Texas Tech's making some moves there, as well as Kevin Wynn. We talked about Josiah Sharma, Myron Charles coming in this past weekend. Kevin Wynn, as talented as anybody in this class Texas is pursuing at the moment, he'll be in town as well. But Matthew, keep scrolling just a little bit. A big one coming in at the linebacker position. That's Riley Pettijohn out of McKinney, Texas. If he's getting on campus, it was Elijah Bo Barnes, the Skyline linebacker, who at the spring game was pushing for him to commit as well. If there's one other prospect on this list to keep a close eye on, it's Nick Brooks out of Iowa. Originally, it was Texas and Georgia perceived to be the two leaders for Nick Brooks. Jerry just put up a great note on him on ontexasfootball.com. So get over there and go check that out as well. He and John Mills out of St. Ignatius Prep in San Francisco are both making it into town this weekend. Kyle Flood getting his hands full a little bit with some of these big humans coming in.
It just seems like there are a lot of out-of-state recruits coming in for these official visits, or at least a lot more. I'm saying a lot more. Than we've seen in previous cycles. Is that just me being prisoner of the moment? Or is that?
No, I think you're right. I'm looking for the numbers. I did this all.
Did you really?
Texas had 48 official visitors. And I want to say that number of in-state kids was about 20. Wow. That's obviously changed. You've seen some kinds, some of those California or out-of-state commits that are, recruits that are committed elsewhere may not still carry on with that visit to Texas. But yeah, a lot of out-of-state going on with Texas. And this is kind of what you want. You know, take care of the top guys in-state, fill some needs. You know, obviously you go out and you get Jackson Christian from Port Neches Groves, the kids out of Cedar Hill, the brothers, Coleman brothers up there. But then you go big game hunting, of course, with Jamie French, Nick Brooks, John Mills, Hayden Lowe. I know he just committed to USC, but these are the guys that Texas, because they have a good stable of depth on the field already, you can go out and say, hey, we're gonna test our luck here, try and get them on campus and see if Texas, the university, the city can kind of overcome some deficits that normally would prevent these kids from even considering Texas.
No, good stuff there, CJ. Good breakdown. All right, Coach. I have a question. We'll get back to some of the questions here, but I got a question for Coach here, or at least a subject I want Coach to address. He's the only one who's actually been a coach here. So according to Football Scoop, they've done research, and they say out of the 134 FBS teams, 55 of them, 41%, are going to return head coach, OC, DC, and a strength and conditioning coach. And they said this also includes internal promotions. But if you extend that to the quarterback, all right, so we're talking about a college football program that returns the head coach, the OC, the DC, the strength and conditioning coach, and the QB. Only 32 teams out of the 134 return that type of continuity. I'll just go through the power four here. We won't go through all of them. Big 10 is 3 out of 18, Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue. Big 12, it's Iowa State, K-State, Oklahoma State, Tech, Utah, and West Virginia. That's actually a lot. The ACC is 5 out of their 15, Clemson, SMU, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. And in the SEC, it's Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas. But take it even further, Coach. I love this. Take it even further. He went and did even deeper. He said, if you take the same stat and then you look at multi-year starting quarterback, so returning head coach, OC, DC, strength and conditioning coach, and a multi-year starting quarterback, so not just started last year, but started multiple years, he said that number drops to just 4. There are only 4 programs that can brag about that in college football: Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, Texas, and Utah.
Wow. You might have an asterisk on that Utah one with Cam Rising not playing last year, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. You're right about that one. But, Coach, I want to get your thoughts about this too, CJ, but in terms of continuity, it starts an amazing job. Think about all the turnover Texas had prior to starting getting here with Charlie. Hey, Coach, you witnessed it. What am I telling you? You were there to see it with Charlie Strong. There's a lot of turnover with Charlie's staff. Even Tom Herman had a lot of turnover on his staff. Now, Sark's had some turnover, but mostly because guys got better jobs. They went and got jobs and went elsewhere and got promoted. He did have to make a move at the wide receiver position. But continuity for a coaching staff, how much of an advantage does that give you to have that type of continuity, like base as a coach?
Well, you know, you've got two types of people that you're going to have turnover occur. One, because the head coach is in trouble and he's trying to save his job. But two, look at the one that goes against everything you're saying is Nick Saban. Saban, I mean, how many times does he replace his, especially offensive coordinators, but just his whole coaching staff? But when I was listening to the schools that have their coordinators returning, the head coach, quarterback, a lot of those are coaches that have not been in that school for very long. You know what I'm saying? So usually it's after year 3, if things aren't really going well, you're going to see some changes the head coach makes. But then guys like Saban's on the other end of the spectrum, why are his guys leaving? Not because they're doing a bad job, because they're getting head jobs and they're going to the NFL, you know. But Nick always had they never seemed to hardly miss a stride with what they were doing. So I think it has to do with how great the head coach is, how good the head coach is. But it is certainly an advantage. It's like running a race and you get like a 10-meter head start. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you're going to win, but it sure does give you a dadgum good head start when that ball kicks off, you know, because of all the things that are working with continuity, it's huge. When you have guys come in and totally change the offense or totally change the defense, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough to be successful in doing that. So I think it gives us and the other few that you mentioned, a pretty big advantage. And I'll say what I've said before. Sometimes it's like, okay, hey, coach, you got your quarterback coming back. Yeah, well, that's good and that's bad. The sucker's coming back, you know. I mean, we didn't win a lot of games last year and he's coming back again, you know. So you have to kind of take it all with a grain of salt. But I do think it gives you a head start going into the season to have a chance to be more successful.
Yep. I will say, honestly, CJ, this would make me think that Ole Miss is more of a sleeper team in the SEC because they – return everything plus a multi-year starting quarterback. And it makes me even more confident to pick Utah or Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 because they are also two of those 4 teams that return a multi-year starting quarterback and all 4 of their main coordinators and head coaches. So, yeah. And then there's Texas, which obviously we're all high on too. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm with the coach. At least these guys got a head start on it in terms of the continuity they've had together as a staff.
Yeah, I'm kind of, kind of intrigued by that. You know, that list, right? You know, Utah, again, Cam Rising wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, you know, we've seen coordinators get plucked from Ohio or Oklahoma State pretty often over the last decade or so. That's true. It's kind of surprising. Of course, I think Gundy runs a great ship, but more than anything, he does a tremendous job of finding coordinators that fit what he wants to do. How important is the quarterback over there when you have the Doak Walker Award winner? Well, you can debate that, but at the same time, it certainly opens up your offense down the field when teams are sitting there packing the box a little bit more. So I don't hate that, Rallo. Oklahoma State to win the Big 12 action next year, I don't hate it at all.
Yeah,
But, Coach, I thought you made a great analogy there, you know, just having the head start in the race. And for Texas to come in with PK returning, obviously Kyle Flood is still here for the offensive line. That's big, too. But all in all, I mean, just what we've seen for Texas since the days of Mack Brown has been nothing but, kind of unstable guys coming in, guys departing, coaches trying to save their jobs so they, you know, kind of – put somebody else on the fallen sword. You know, it's one of those things where, you see new head coaches and where things don't necessarily go where they want to be. Lincoln Riley just did it last year. They get rid of a coordinator that was kind of the issue, right? That's the next step in saving the day. We saw with Texas A&M 2 years ago, Jimbo Fisher fires the offensive coordinator, brings in Petrino, and now you're sitting there thinking, all right, well, maybe he's figured it out. Maybe this is what they needed to do. It doesn't work out. They're canned the next year. Hasn't been the case at Texas for the first time in quite a while. So it's encouraging nonetheless.
Yep.
And plus, we have a huge advantage. Head coaches that call the plays on offense, that's a huge advantage. You can lose an OC and it ain't no big deal.
That's true.
Ole Miss can lose. They can lose all the coordinators they want. They're not going to skip a beat. Neither does Oklahoma State. Matter of fact, I think Mike Gundy is one of the best coaches in the country. Year in, year out, to do what he does with the talent that he has, like him or not. I still remember when Tom went after him after the game.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like him or not, that guy, and you were so right, CJ, all the great coordinators he's had through the years, it's almost a plug and play. A new one comes in, and they don't miss a beat. And I'm a big fan of Mike Gundy as a football coach.
Yeah, I agree with you on that too. He's kind of like Dabo. He's kind of anti-NIL and anti-transfer portal too. Hey, UT boy says, CJ, is Dabo stepping up his NIL? I don't think so. I think Dabo.
No, Rod, you see the video the other day? Of him with the recruit in his office on the official visit, and they're doing some TikTok or video, and life of me, I mean, you talk about highlight reels of kids on the field. You can make a highlight reel of Dabo just kind of being cringy when it comes to living. I thought for a little bit he forgot that kid's name. He looks at him and says, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Oh, man."
Yeah, man, like you said, Dabo is still – I mean, I don't know. I've been looking at the recruiting rankings. Is it hurting him yet, the fact that he has been so outspoken against the NIL and transfer portal? Has it actually hurt him yet? Are we starting to see it, recruiting rankings?
You know, it's not helping him.
Yeah, it's
interesting through Clemson's big run of, you know, whether it be ACC titles or, you know, the pair of national championships that they won, they still haven't produced a first-round offensive lineman, I think, since, like, 2004. So
that's wild.
Texas had their drought. They still have their drought. Wow. Should end next year with Kelvin Banks, obviously. Clemson's not been attracting those big-time offensive linemen that we've seen, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, even Oklahomas. But that's kind of the difference. And I think right now, I mean, they do a great job of early evaluations. You see that? I mean, listen, I think you have to recruit a certain type of kid to go to Clemson. Not a bad way, but in the sense that you come here, you're not expected to leave. They don't have many transfers out. They don't have many decommitments. They buy in, and that's all a part of it. I think
what you're talking about, kind of, you know, recruiting those
it limits them a little bit.
Players. Yeah, it definitely does. But that's what Coach was talking about. Hey, sometimes you're just trying to find that guy that he bleeds whatever their type of orange, Clemson orange, and he wanted to be Clemson forever. You got to kind of find those guys who are built and wired a little bit different. So, yeah, no, I mean, that's, like I said, everybody's got their own way of navigating the new kind of NIL world and transfer portal world. But doesn't have a lot of guys coming in transfer portal wise. But like you said, don't have a lot of guys going out. All right. Before we get back to some of the questions here, we didn't get to this, but Texas hired a new special assistant to the head coach. And this actually was something I saw Football Scoop first report as well. And I hope I get his name right, Chris. And you may know how to pronounce it, Chris Forestier. Sounds good to you. But he was recently on the Arkansas Pine Bluff staff. Remember, Coach, I showed you that was an opening for the special assistant still there? I don't know. Maybe this guy killed it.
I'm thinking when you see those openings, they've already got the guy. Okay. They've already got the guy. As a state law, you've got to have it posted for so long before you can. They pick the guy, then they put the ad out there. Don't think for a second that University of Texas is actively out there campaigning, trying to get people to apply for a job. I promise you that's not the case.
The gin pop, no need apply, is what he's saying.
No, but he does have some experience with Golden. You know, he was with Golden, and so, you know, I don't know whether Golden went to bat for him or not. They're obviously, I'm gonna tell you, there's very rarely is there ever a hire where there's not a connection somewhere on the staff or the team somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, you're right about that. And that you're right about this is a connection. Not only because he was on recently, like I said, he was on the Arkansas Pine Bluff staff, but that was like literally this spring he was on that staff. Right. He had just gotten that gig and now is on as the special hired as the special assistant for Texas. And he was on the U of H staff as a team analyst, as you just brought up, Coach. That's when he worked with Matthew Golden, and they were really good last year. I mean, he returned. Matthew Golden had 2 kickoff returns for touchdowns. They had 3 block kicks, I believe, as a special teams unit. That was good for one of the top units in the country in terms of block kicks as well. Their punt returns were really good, and Coach Banks coached against their special teams unit, so. You know how that is, Coach. You get to game plan against them, learn some tricks of the trade, and it probably helps that he knows exactly how they weaponized Matthew Golden last year in the return game. So now you got that as an added bonus. And prior to that, he was at LSU from 2016 to 2022 before he got on the U of A staff, and he worked as a special teams assistant there as well. And by the way, before that, he started at Northwestern State where my dad actually ran track. So shout out to them. So he's a guy that can help on special teams, as Coach mentioned, connection with Matthew Golden. So he can help you weaponize Matthew Golden or at least use the tactics that U of H used. And I said this earlier, too, on one of the other live streams. I think, guys, the return game is something we haven't talked enough about that is going to be pretty potent next year. There's an argument to be made that Matthew Golden is just as good, if not better, than Keelan Robinson. I'm not going to say Silas Bolden is better than Xavier Worthy at punt return because that guy was excellent. But he's still one of the better punt returners in his conference last year. And Matthew Golden was an all-conference, kickoff returner too. I mean, this group is going to be, I think, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the return game. And I think part of bringing this young man in, Chris Forestier, hope I said his name correctly, is going to help with some of the strategy there.
Yeah, there's one thing you can't knock Steve Sarkisian and Jeff Banks for, and that's their attention to the special forces and what we've seen out of that unit, whether it be the big returns, whether it be blocked punts, or whether it be fakes. You know, remember that Oklahoma game, they had just about everything. You know, it was a blocked punt for a touchdown. Oklahoma then followed that up with a trick play of their own that was called back for an illegal forward lateral, and then Texas had a trick play of their own on special teams right after that. So that's always been one of my favorite things, and Texas has done a tremendous job kind of weaponizing some of those guys that we've mentioned, whether it be a Keaton Crawford a year ago, a Keelan Robinson, and this year I would expect that to be a Gavin Holmes or a Trey Wisner. To be those big instant impact guys on special forces. Matthew Golden has to be the happiest guy out of all of this. Because, right, you go back at what he did at Houston, 9 returns, 2 touchdowns. Talk about a successful hit rate, my goodness. But I'm really excited, again, because I thought there were a number of returns last year, whether it be Silas Bolden or Xavier Worthy, where it was a shoestring away from a 40-yard return turning into a house call. And I think Xavier Worthy, before he had that punt return against BYU at home, there were a lot of moments where it was like, this is the one. He's 20 yards downfield with a head of steam, and he gets tripped up by, you know, the 40-yard line. He was so close so often that you look back at the numbers and all, I mean, they rivaled the best punt returners in all of the country, but they could have been significantly better, right? If it weren't for just that little last effort that brought him down to the field. That's what I'm excited for this year, because I think that they do a tremendous job in evaluating and coming out with a game plan to expose opponents who may not be taking it as seriously. It's truly the third phase of the game, and Texas has done a great job under Sarkisian of making the most of the opportunities in returns, coverage, and kicking.
Yep, totally agree. Getting to a question here, Justin, if we're going to blitz with our secondary, would it be better to do so more with our safeties as opposed to cornerbacks? Yeah, this is something I think I don't like the cornerback blitz. I think I'm on the record saying that I'm not a big fan of Texas cornerback blitz. I just don't like the success rate of it, and it doesn't seem to be very effective. And we talked about it. The DBs are not very great at disguising it. It makes you very vulnerable in the right situation, the perfect situation. And I think Texas actually did. PK had the perfect cornerback blitz call against Bryce Young in the Alabama game. That was actually the perfect time to call it, and it still didn't even work out. So I'm not a fan of it. I do think there are certain traits with players that are natural that you'd have to recruit, that you can try to develop. You can get better at them, but I think something is just natural programming. And I think timing out blitzes is natural program. I think some guys, coach, this is my experience, they time it out really well. You can get better at it, but some guys, they got a natural timing for it in terms of coming from the set position and then disguising it and then timing out the snap. Because as you know, coach, it changes. The snap count changes. They're going to be the same every time. I can't teach you how to time a blitz because it ain't going to be the same time every – it ain't going to be the same timing. You got to have a knack for it, man. You got to be programmed in. That's like being a ball hawk. Or I say pass rushers like that. Some guys just get a knack for pass rushing. The best pass rusher on the team last year, even Sark said, oh, yeah, that's Anthony Hill. He just got there. Your best cover safety last year with Derek Williams. He just got there. Because some of that stuff is naturally programmed. You can't really coach that stuff, man. You can get better at it. But you can't – I don't think you can coach the timing of a blitz. The guys that I know who are good at it, they would just had it naturally. They just – the guy, he naturally knew how to disguise it, and he naturally knew how to time it out based on the snap of the quarterback. But what are your thoughts about that, coach?
It's a little more difficult, I think, blitzing a safety. Obviously, if you're going to blitz a corner, you got to have the ball on the hash mark. I mean, that's the only way you're going to blitz a corner. Short side corner is going to come. He ain't going to come from way out there if the ball's in the middle field of the hash. But safety always the safety blitz, it depends on the offensive formation. And the coaches go into the game, they say, okay, when we call a safety blitz, if they're in, you know, five wide, four wide trips, bunch, whatever, I mean, it's off. It's off. We can't, you know, you can't do it. It has to be a predetermined, a group of predetermined formations when you're going to call us, when you can run the safety blitz. And if you don't have that, you call it off.
Yeah,
and so it's a little more difficult depending on and then even that can change with motion, which more and more people are motion and shifting and everything, you know, because you can't just send a guy and leave somebody uncovered. You have to have everybody accounted for. And so what you don't want is to have a linebacker trying to cover inside a slot receiver or something like that, because you call the safety blitz and you're going with it anyway. And now, If the quarterback has a time to get the ball off, you've got a great mismatch offensively, you know, according to that. So it's easy. Hey, why don't you run the safety blitz? Well, you know that, Rod. It's a lot harder than it sounds or it looks, because everything's got to be in place. Everything has to be just right, or you got to call it off. You can't do it. And then if you got that guy that has that timing, and then if you'll see this, those defensive linemen know, and make them up, they'll come off the ball, then they'll pull a lineman out of the way to create a gap for the safety to get through, because there's not going to be a gap probably if the defensive lineman or a defensive end is not pulling an offensive lineman out of the way to create a greater gap for the safety to get through.
Yeah, good point, coach. Great stuff. All right, Jedi Master Bevo says, Rod, last night you gave us your starting secondary. Today, what's your four starting receivers excluding tight end? if there was a 10 personnel package, a red package, like Sark County, Alabama, when you have four wide receivers on the field, well, number one, Isaiah Bond's got to be out there. Jonte Cook, I'm going to throw out there. Man, it's hard to deny Ryan Wingo. Man, it really is hard to deny that young man. Between Matthew Golden and Silas Bolden. It's tough. I've been hearing good things about Silas Bolden too, CJ. And I love me some Matthew Golden. Ooh, Bolden or Golden. Oh, what a choice. I might go with Bolden over Golden. Ooh, just because of the threat of him in that slot is nasty. But I love me some Golden. It's tough. I mean, that's a tough choice. I 50% I'd go with Golden or I'd go with Bolden. But if I gotta stick to it right now. I might say Bolden right now for me. It's because those guys are tougher for me to cover. I love the guys that are tough for me to cover. I hate covering little water bugs like that. I hate them. Can't get my hands on them, coach. They slip. They so small. They just get right underneath it. And I hate those little dudes. I want a dude that got some surface. I can put my hands on these pads. I can punch them. I get little dudes. I can't do that. Every now and then I get a good punch on them and I knock them all off balance and stuff like that. But I hate those little dudes, man. I hate them. I hate those little
sometimes
dudes.
Sometimes you're punching air, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, coach.
And then when you're doing that, you've lost your balance because you've lunged forward.
Oh, right past you.
Yeah. But I think the first few games, I think we're going to see some packages for all of those guys.
Definitely.
And then see how well they do and who's really is going to be playmakers out there. You can't keep those guys off the field. There's too good of guys out there. You can't just play three or four guys and let the rest. You're going to have packages for each of them. And I don't know that it will be equal time among all of them, but they'll all have a package. He will find a way to let a receiver have a package for a receiver to do what he's best at doing. Mm-hmm. And then as the season progresses, you get more of a feel of who you're comfortable with and who's actually – walking the walk, you know, who's actually practice. Some guys look great in practice. Man, Garrett Gilbert, they tell him he would look great in practice. I mean, he just unstoppable. But he got in the game, and I don't know if it happened faster or whatever it was. It just didn't happen for him quite as well or as much. But these guys, you're going to see them all play the first few games with their own packages and coach giving them an opportunity to be successful in what they do best.
Good stuff there, Coach. All right, before we get ready to close this thing out, we'll get like one more question before we do. Let's thank our sponsor once again. We really want to thank the good folks over at South Point Dodge for being on the On Texas football team. And if you want to score an easy extra point this season, you can get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock and their award-winning sales staff. They don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They're about getting straight to the point by getting you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge and go see them on 535 in South Austin. Or visit them today at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much to South Point Dodge for all of their support and sponsoring the winning drive today. All right, a couple of questions before we get out of here. Hi, I'm Boo Corrigan. Says, who is the player who is most likely to break out this year? I'll throw it to you, CJ. Breakout player for you. I guess you're definitely a breakout player, too. I guess it's somebody that, you know, has been unsung so far.
I think you have to go defensively for this answer. Of course, Texas returns a lot. They have a lot of experience on the offensive side of the ball. I'll go a linebacker. It's either going to be Leon Golofal or it's going to be Darian Gallette. I think just because of the depth at that spot, either one of them is going to be on the field a good bit with the way that Texas rotates at positions. Maybe not so much with an Anthony Hill. We saw Jalen Ford kind of be that – you know, piece that didn't move in Texas's middle of the field last couple of years. But aside from David Bindo, who else will Texas have to play in the middle? It's going to be one of the two of them. And I really like Leon Golofal.
I like that. Coach, you got a breakout player most likely for you?
I like Golofal. Mm-hmm. I really like what he brings to the table. I agree with you, CJ. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's not that guy.
Yeah.
All right. Mine is I hope, and I don't even know if he's broken out yet, but Alpha Collins has got to be that guy. I mean, the tradition has been you got, you know, obviously the last 2 years, you've had two D tackles drafted every year, the last 2 years, I should say. And I think Alfred Collins is right there, man. He's on the cusp, and we're waiting for the light to go off. I'll give you something I saw from Pro Football Focus, that he has an 80.6 pass rush grade last season. That'd be first among returning SEC defensive tackles. And I believe he's third Pro Football Focus grade, third ranked returning defensive tackle overall in the SEC this year. Could be a big year for Alfred Collins, man. He's got to be the linchpin on that defensive line. And it's got to start with him being a forced run defender early on, because I think already he's one of the better pass rushers. That stat proves it. But if he can stop the run early on, then you're talking about him being a guy that can play every down for you. Yep. And be a real force of nature. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for all of the questions. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you for making this on Texas football community. Thank you for making it so successful so far. So we appreciate all of your support. Also, thank you guys for the super chats. Appreciate those. Thank you to South Point Dodge. Thank you to Matthew behind the scenes, always the real MVP. Thank you to CJ Vogel. Thank you to Coach Bob Shipley as well for the on Texas football family. Until next time, hook 'em.